Welcome to the Av Podcast with Kelsey
on South Shore Ave Radio.
Welcome to the Av Podcast, the post-game version of the NBA Finals. I'm joined by the South Shore Ave family member, fam in real life, kinda. But also the COO, Team Light Skin, the founder of Red Rush Ontario's AAU basketball program, a black bear from Maine, and he's going to pack it up from Greenfield Park. Please welcome Mr. Randall Walton to the show. How you doing?
That might have been your best introduction yet.
Oh, man. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Because I thought you were going to go back into the light. I thought you were gonna go back into the light skin jokes, because I was gonna say it's a tough job, you know what I mean? Someone has to represent the community the way that it's going, and shit, we get very translucent in the winter. So I feel like my color's coming back in. I feel
good. Yeah, summer's kicking in.
Summer's kicking in, you know what I mean? You become like a different shade of light skin, and I'm all for it, man. Because you know, in the winter time, I felt like, you know, my feelings were getting hurt all the time. You know, I was about to post a 4-minute TikTok video, me crying while a slow R&B song was playing in the background. You know what I mean? So, you know,
finally, just looking out the window.
Yeah, man, you're just crying. Rain. Here's what it is, but, man.
But I gave you your vibe back just a little bit. A little vibe back, that's all.
Oh, yeah, baby.
And see, we was talking. This is where, you know, we were talking offline about this. This is where, you know, the old age is setting in. When your glasses keep fogging when you don't want it to fog. This wouldn't have happened in my 20s, but that's okay. That's all right. That's fine. That's okay.
Because see, the booth is hot.
Ooh, I know. The booth's smoking.
The booth's on fire right now. Ready for a hot podcast. That's why.
About to spit these bars, son. no, man. Listen, man. The NBA Finals is... It's been entertaining so far, man. I it's pretty much what we kind of expected. Maybe not in the way that we've been seeing it so far, but the energy, the hypeness of it, especially last night, the first NBA Finals game in New York City in 27 years. And, man, I think the 27 years of hype was in that building last night. And that was you can actually feel it off the TV screen. Like, that's how crazy it was. But we can get into that in a moment. But what were your thoughts on game three of the NBA Finals?
Yo, you see I'm on my New York City shit, mm-hmm. right? You see I'm on my New York City shit. I mean, the energy was incredible. Like, I've never seen anything that energy jump off the screen like that in a game three event.
I know.
Forget it. Game seven is different. You feel that energy, that hype, that nervousness. And in game three, New York was shut down.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you that there was a big energy shift from euphoria, because when the game started, I had me off my seat. You know what I mean? Pumping Jay-Z and shit. I was pumping mm-hmm. Ja Rule before the game. I've listened to Ja Rule since 2000, right? That's how much. Got me pulling out my old, you know, everyone knows, like, I was a Knicks fan growing up, and it's known that my fellow, you know, like, well, come on, man, John Starks, man. Come on, you know you're a real basketball fan if you say your favorite player growing up was John Starks.
John Starks. That's right, man. He meant a lot. Right?
Before the Raptors. That was my squad, and I kind of nostalgic for me watching it. But back to the, you know, it was euphoria, and then it became, now it's a fist fight. That's the interesting part, right? Because at the end of the half, see, I was like, are they gonna have to pull out the broom?
I know.
Did you feel like that as well?
I did actually.
Feel like there was a
I did
right. You know, and think about it. They went into, you know, the energy was the same as New York, but playing the Spurs in the playoffs and the Spurs at home at first, that Texas environment is historic, right? It's a different type of atmosphere, right? And they snatched that 2-0 lead on a team that took out defending champs with our captain Canuck. I didn't think they were going to do that, but they looked great. They were rolling at the right time, and they got that core center, you know, centerpiece that affects the game in every facet and way. But they came out with, you know, guns blazing. And you know, honestly, the Spurs didn't just win game three. They ruined a multi-generational block party.
You really did.
And that, forget what we'll probably get to the Trump shit. But before all that, man, like, you know, it snapped New York's ridiculous 13-game post-winning game streak, right? Winning game streak. And and it brought brought back a severe dose of reality to at Manhattan, right? Upside the Garden. But yeah, I mean, we can dive into the nitty gritties of what the game is like, but I want to hear what your thoughts were.
Yeah, honestly, I was really impressed by the Spurs last night, because going into that game, I was like, there's no way the Spurs are winning that game. I was like, there's no way. There's too much hype. The players are going to be too hype on the Knicks. I'm like, there's going to be too much fans, too much history. I'm like, those guys they're young, and you know what I mean? Like, they haven't broken their will all year that way. But I'm like, I thought last night was going to be the night where that happens. I'm like, this is where the youth is finally going to be like, man, this might be a little too much for us. Mm-hmm. Man, and that's why I'm like, the Spurs are, honestly, it's probably it's one of the best stories. Even if they don't win win it all, this is one of the best stories, man, or the best story of this year. The poise of, not just Wemby, but the poise of all of their young players. I mean, most of the squad is young, but the poise of these guys, man, it's so impressive. Like, we're talking about, like, again, 27 years of hype, MSG. You can throw a quarter and hit an A-lister in the head from like 5 feet away. Like, right. that whole, like, those first two rows was just, I mean, it was like that, like the A-list of the A-list. I think it was like crazier than like what you see with like the Lakers play.
Oh,
it was nuts. Oh, yeah, it was nuts.
It was crazy.
It was nuts.
Like, cost of a ticket was in the front row was like, I think ended up being somewhere well above 30 grand. And I think even at game time tip off, I heard something about 120 grand.
Yeah, it was like six figures. Like, yeah.
Oh, man. I got to give a shout out to somebody. Someone that I know is a lifelong Knick fan. My homegirl, Becky, call it white girl Becky, mm-hmm. from Maine. And Becky she was my ride or die. Long story mm-hmm. short, we had a big falling out over some college squabbles of who smashed who. But we're not going to get in on this podcast, man, another one. But I got to give her a huge shout out. Listen, for a white girl, she has some ass. But I got to give her a huge, huge shout out, because she's been a ride or die Knicks fan. Like, ride or die.
Mm-hmm.
And she moved to Miami later on, like, you know, and was, you know, working for the Heat, doing a lot of things, but always in Miami, in the peak of, you know, the golden era of Miami with Braun and the big three, mm-hmm. when Joe was down there. Let me tell you a quick story. So, you know, she was part of the crew, like homegirl, right? Mm-hmm. And she was kind of working for the Heat, not working for the Heat, connections. She couldn't get into all the games. And when the Knicks come into Miami, you know what it's like, right? Like, yeah. Everywhere Knicks go, especially
New York takes over.
The transplanted people, like, you know, from New York there. So, mm-hmm. you know, I called Joe. I'm like, you got to give homegirl Becky, you know what I mean? She hooks up with the Becky shots. You got to hook her up. Anyhow, he gets her tickets to the game. Man, why the fuck is Becky rolling to the game in the Heat family section with all the Heat fans, wearing a Patrick Ewing shirt and a New York Knicks beanie hat? And everybody's like, who's this chick? What the hell is she doing here in the section with Knicks paraphernalia on? Who got her these tickets? And everyone's like, those are Joe's. So Joe calls me after the game. don't ever ask me to get tickets for her anymore. Why are you embarrassing me like that? But that's my homegirl. And yo, shout out to her, because when I kind of slid to my Raptors, right, when Raptors kind of start bubbling up and I moved back to Canada, I got to tell you, she's been ride or die through thick and thin. And I'm kind of happy that she gets to really witness. And I think she's actually down there right now. And I told her I'll give a shout out in the pod, straight from the shore. You know what I mean? Okay. You heard it on the ad, Bex. And everyone knows you are the truest Knicks fan. So
she's like a Kevin, basically.
No, she Kevin's been that from childhood. I know. Shout out to K too, because yo, he's a diehard. But I think Becky got him.
Yeah,
Becky got him. Becky was it. It's like, you remember you saw all the Spurs fans out there, people ripping their jerseys off.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She was in Miami walking around with her jersey on, and people heckling her. And her giving that New York, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I give her respect, man, because, yo, that's a Knicks fan, right? They stand on 10 toes down, right? So just wanted to give that shout out. But, yeah, sorry to throw it off track. But
no, that's all good.
Yeah, no, you know, in regards to the game last night, just some stuff you were touching on. Yo, one big thing that I thought for game three, that, you know, now we get into kind of nitty-gritty of things, is Wemby's. I think that was his identity game. Listen, I love Wemby. I love everything about him as a player.
And he's had a few this season. I mean, this playoffs.
Yeah. But one thing that stood out more than any of those other games is that he came with that grit.
Yeah.
Like, he came with that grit. Like, he came. Look, he's the arch villain of New York right now. Like, like, if it's Gotham City, he's the Joker. Right, he's the true Joker. Everyone wants to kill him, and I'll tell you, he came at Bronson. You saw it when he took Bronson, just shot him to the ground, and started doing his little Joker laugh. Yo, that was rude. That was rude.
I loved it.
I loved it. And you know what? Again, with all that hostility, all them fans, all them celebrities, he came in there and gave him the business. See, 32 points, 8 boards, 6 assists. 3 blocks, affected the game, offense, defensively. You know what I mean? He neutralized Towns, who's really been the X factor, believe it or not, in the series. And he just choked out the Knicks, right? Like, you know, that driving kick options with them throwing it up at the rim late in the game. Those are, you know, that's crazy, man. Like, I was, even though I was going for the Knicks, it was enjoyable to see that it wasn't going to be a sweep, because I'm just a basketball fan at the end of the day, right?
Yeah.
And you said it, the young Bulls out there, they're fearless. Like, you got Castle out there just, yo, come on, man. Like, even though he turns over the ball recklessly at times and he pisses me off, yo, when all the lights were shining, he came through for them.
Came through, man.
Right?
He came through. He had 23 last night.
23 last night, man. And then on the Knicks side, I was really happy for our former rap OG. I think OG really had a good playoff run. I think his vet experience of going this deep, even though he didn't play in the Raptor series, he was part of that pedigree. He got to see it. He got to feel it. He got to be part of it. So having a person with some championship experience is shown, right? Because he came through in some big moments. Like, and you can see sometimes, especially at the beginning of the game, I know there's jitters, but you saw with Hart turning over the ball a lot. And I don't, you know, I also think at times the other cast, they you know, Towns to me is never, even though he's playing great, you never know when he's just going to revert back to being kind of soft.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that's what happened with him last night.
He was neutralized. And I'm saying he wasn't soft, but he was neutralized.
Yeah.
And Bridges, sometimes he just disappears, right?
The foul trouble kind of hurt him too last night.
And then you got Showtime Bronson, who I think was just doing too much. I think 32 points, but like, how many shot attempts did he have? I think he honestly shot himself out the game. I like it when he kind of picks and chooses his spots to score instead of forcing it and getting others involved. Because I think they're deadly when everyone else is touching the rock. And I think the Brunson show is great, but yesterday, you know, they're going to start neutralizing that. And if he scores over 30 points a game and everyone scores, you know, another guy maybe 20 and everyone else is 10 below 10, they're not going to win this series. It's going to, they're going to go down very hard and quick. So they got to figure that out. And I know Mike Brown will. So.
Yeah, no, but going back to Wemby for a second though, man, he put the smack down. It's almost like, well, two things. It's like number one, it's like you realize that, like, hey man, I was third in MVP voting. What am I doing? I'm actually the best player here. You know what I mean? And then he went to go prove that, number one. Like, just the way he started the game, with the way him and Castle started the game, like, and you notice playing sports and stuff, like, you know, when you're on the road and your best players go to work right away with that kind of energy, it just kind of, like, when you're on the road, you get motivated from it. It kind of settles down the team. There's like nerves and stuff. It kind of settles you down when your best guys are just going to work immediately. You know what I mean? You got hyped off that. And then honestly, they showed him at Central Park, like sketching a statue in the middle of the park. When I saw that, I said, he might go off. Because it's that calm before the storm thing. You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't like sitting there pacing. He just very calmly just drawing, you know, just sketching, you know, like in the middle of the day. I'm like, I'm like, that. There's a sense of calm there, boy. I'm like, I think he's going to be coming with it tonight. Even though I still thought the Knicks was going to win. But to your point, it's like, I felt like the hype was so much in that arena that I think it even messed with their own players. Because they were the one that were uncharacteristically making like bad turnovers. They did about three or four passes where you're just like, what are you guys doing? I just felt like the hype was just maybe, it was almost a little too much for them to handle.
Yeah.
Because they were the ones that was more jittery with the basketball and not taking care of it. I mean, the Spurs, like last night, I mean, we talked about, you know, in the past, like how much turnovers these guys has and stuff. And they only had 9 last night as a team. You know what I mean? So they really took care of the ball. Like, they did not make any mistakes. They capitalized on the Knicks' mistakes. You know what I mean? And it was, to me, like I said again, the poise that came from this squad, it's so impressive. Like I said, win or lose, whatever happens going forward, I'm like, you have to be proud of this team, man. You just hope they can stay together long, because you know that second apron salary cap stuff is eventually going to come for them. Like, it's coming for all these teams. But so you hope they can stick together as long as they can. It's almost like football. Like, it's come to the point where it's like, you know, when you get that, like, the stud rookie quarterback, and now you have to just build out your defense and get all the best players now, because you know, in about 4 years, you're going to have to pay that quarterback that money, and then your team is going to be different. So it's kind of like this. That's kind of where it is now with basketball, where it's like, you got all these young guys. Amazing. Ride this out as long as you can, because eventually, I think in about a year, or might even be this summer, Wemby's going to get that max extension. It's going to be that super max, and that's where it's going to start. Then all of a sudden, you got to start flipping guys, right? But for the time being, we don't have to worry about that right now. But for the time being, I'm like, yo, it was a great performance, man. It was a great performance. But, you know, it's funny because, like, De'Aaron Fox to me, like, I don't know if you heard some of his like pressers, like during like the finals and stuff, because he's talked about how much he's like sacrificed for the team and all that. And I don't know, me, I kind of feel like you got to be careful when you're at a certain level of a star, you got to be careful with how much you sacrifice, because when you sacrifice your game to a certain extent, it's like you don't totally come back the same. When it's time to like put it back, you know what I mean? It's like you're geared down, and it's like it's hard to go back to fifth gear when you've been gearing down for the last 2-3 years. So, you know what I mean? It's almost like you forget how to drive fast. Mm-hmm. And I feel like with him, it's like he has to kind of be careful with that, because you still need him to. Fox is, we acting like Fox is old. We're not, but like Fox is 28. Fox is like in the prime of his career. He's not, he's not a vet. But he's not a young. I mean, he's not a baby either. But he's far from old, so he's still got a lot to give. So like, as much as you're sacrificing for the team, and you get it, because he's probably the third best player on the team, at best, sub nights. You know what I mean? Depending on what Dylan Harper is doing, he might be the fourth on sub nights. Oh my gosh, he's amazing.
I love that kid, and I love his mom.
Yeah, he's amazing. He's amazing. He's amazing. But with that said, though, like, sorry, what are you going to say?
No, I was going to say that the one thing with Fox, though, before you continue, I think he's still under injury.
Maybe. Because something's off.
Yeah, he doesn't look the same. Like, there's spurts of him where you're like, damn, you got that. He's so quick.
So fast.
He's so damn quick. But then you're looking at, if he's holding himself back, I feel like he's hurting the team. Right? There's times that I feel like with him on the court, it's kind of like similar to, sorry, I just had a brain fart. Who got traded to the Clippers?
Garland?
Garland, sorry, yeah. Garland, that change of pace kind of player. Like, like when he gets in, I feel like the athleticism with that team, they got to go, right? Yeah. And he's so good working downhill and getting to spots, right? And yes, you got to incorporate Wemby, but there's times that he just got to go and he just seems like he's reserved, right? And trying to make everyone happy. I mean, the only thing I can say about him is sometimes he's inconsistent with his three, but when he's going downhill, like in his Sacramento days, when he was just booking it, that's the Fox I miss. And I've not seen that, right?
I've seen it.
Yeah, and especially in the playoff time, like a lot of his points aren't the regular points we used to see him get.
Yeah.
And he's a rhythm player. Once he sees the ball go through the hoop, it seems like it gets bigger and bigger. That's when his shot starts falling. Not the opposite, not him shooting threes and then working downhill.
No, but it's with him, it's his speed and the quickness, and we haven't really seen it to that degree. And I mean, that's his superpower, right? Mm-hmm. Like his speed and quickness off the dribble is his superpower. And we're not really... And we're not really seeing it, because I think if that guy, that old Fox, is out there, it makes a, like, that's where the Spurs go to a point where it's like, yeah, they're now probably the favorites if he's playing like that. But you can't hold yourself back to this point. Like, you got to still pick your spots to when you're gonna be Fox and just like again, like terrorize people on the transition. Like there's certain things that he can do to still be that person, but I feel like he's not. There's something off with him. And I mean, people have been complaining about him like the whole playoffs. Like there's something off. And you could be right. Maybe his ankle's still not, or his foot, whatever it is, it's not quite the same. You know, maybe we don't see that version of him until next year. But I'm like, but you got to be careful how much you sacrifice, because like I said, when you, it's hard to do that and then go back to being like, now when they need you, they need buckets and they need you to be that guy. If you don't balance it out properly, it's hard to put it back into fifth gear. It's hard. You know what I mean? So that's, I said, with him, he's got to kind of be careful with that. And two, you know, like I said, again, Harper is coming for his job in a couple of years. Maybe even next year.
See, I don't see him fitting with the squad.
Yeah.
I don't. No, they don't really, like, he's so talented. I just don't see, if they don't win this series, they may bring him back, but he's the first chip to go. They're gonna have to start paying guys. Castle is the truth. We know that, right? He's only gonna get better. Harper, he should be getting way more minutes that Fox is eating up. And we see that all he's doing is not regressing, but anytime he gets the chance to shine, he's playing the role that Fox is at times.
Yeah.
There's too many cooks in the kitchen and not enough seasoning.
It's true. But it's you're right though, because where his contract is at now, if the apron stuff starts talking, he's gonna be the first one flip. Especially when you know, like again, you got a Harper kid that's back there that looks like he's ready to star. I mean, that dunk he had last night on Ananobi, I was like, yo, I didn't even know he can do that too.
Mm-hmm.
Not to that degree. I mean, I knew it, but not to that degree. I was like, whoa.
You see,
Every single game he impresses me, man.
They got rebounding guards out there.
Yeah.
Yo, man, he's the truth. He's the truth.
Yo, like, I know we discussed this before, but how much did you like, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much did you like Wemby throwing down Brunson?
10?
Yeah, I say about a 10.5.
For the culture, man.
Yeah.
NBA, you know what I mean? I was, where did I hear it? Oh, I saw Marbury. I saw a clip of Marbury complaining about it, right? And he's like, oh, you know, that's a tactic for overseas players, blah, blah, blah. Bullshit. Overseas players play hard. You know, they call them soft. They play hard. They got a little dirty chipness to them. But so did the players back in the 90s and 80s and early 2000s, right? Like, it's basketball, right? We've got away from all that with this fucking get-along gang shit. With everybody's AU culture, everyone wants to team up and have super teams and be the best players. We're getting away from that where competition is starting to bubble back up. People take pride playing for something. Wemby is taking a page from the vets that came up before him, right? And I respect that, right? He came out for blood. He said it. He called. He says, we're not losing this game. I'm putting this team on my back. And that's what he did. Any means necessary. You go after the top player, and nobody did shit on New York. Nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody came back and gave him a forearm shiver to the ribs. Yeah. Nobody. Right? Nobody.
Yeah, nobody took him out the air. Nothing.
Nothing. He's laughing. His skinny ass, I would have chopped his leg.
No, but real talk, though. Like, he's... You know, everybody complains about, you know, you hear people like, especially our generation, they complain about how soft the league is and everything else, you know, especially compared to like the 90s and 2000, all that stuff. But then, you know, you're hearing people complaining about, like, you know, the Knicks aren't getting enough calls, you know, like this, that, you know, Wemby's throwing people, they're hacking. And I'm sitting back like, listen, man, it's the NBA Finals. Like, what do you expect? Both of these teams are playing so intense and so hard. Like, there was a period in time where we were watching the game. I was talking, shout out to B, happy birthday to him. Happy belated birthday when we were talking last night watching the game. But we were both like, yo, this is amazing. Look how intense this is, man. Like, it speaks to our spirit as to how we watched and played sports back then. Like, that's what you want. Like, you want it to be physical. And honestly, I mean, at the end of the day, that wasn't the reason why the Knicks lost. Even if there was a foul discrepancy, and there was last night, sure, you can say that, but that's not why they lost. Like, the Spurs outplayed them. That's all it was. You know what I mean? So, I mean, if the fouls, you know, the foul shots could have been more even, okay, I guess, but the Spurs were kind of figuring them out all night. Because, you know, at a certain point in the game, and it's all sports, there's a certain rhythm where you're just like, 3 minutes to go, 4 minutes to go, you're like, yeah, the other team just don't got it tonight. Or like, yeah, the Spurs. Like, last night, didn't you feel like there was a certain point, you're like 5 minutes to go, 4 minutes to go, you're like, yeah, it's looking like the Spurs going to win this game. Like, the energy just felt different.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's what it was.
Right. Right in the third quarter, I felt it. Right. I felt the shift right at the end of the third. I just felt like, and I think part of it, too, I think, and I know Mike Brown's done a great job with subs. So I'm not like, the only critique I have for Mike Brown is this game three, is that there was a crucial time when, you know, the Spurs had their starters in the game because they wanted to make a push.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to have too many bench players off at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, I think the balance of what they had on. And I'm okay if Cat was taking a break, because Mitchell Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think they had too many guys on that they should have a couple more starters or to neutralize it. The matchup just weren't there, and that's when the run and separation started. I don't think the Knicks ever caught the momentum they had in the second, right, where they really kind of take it off, right? And they and again, it's also a matter of strategy. And you know, there was some foul trouble with Bridges, but like you said, you know, I thought the control was all, like, they played with nothing to lose.
Yeah, that's how they came with it.
Yeah,
they came with it just like that. And honestly, like, guys are playing like their lives are on the line. Like, there's a career defining moment, and everybody's trying to go for it. This is what sports is about. Like, if it gets physical, man, like, yeah, you should want more of that. You know what it reminds me of? It's like people in the winter complain that it's too cold, and then now they're complaining that it's too hot. You know what I mean? It's like, pick a struggle. What do you want, man? Like, what are we doing here? It's summertime. Let's go. It's hot now. All right. You know? break the J's out. It's okay. You know what I mean? Like, I like, I don't know. I don't understand the complaints. And you're hearing, well, like you said, you're hearing, and I get it. Like I said, I do get it. I do understand, especially if you're a Knicks fan, I do understand the discrepancy of calls. But at the same time, I'm like, it's the finals, man. Like,
bro,
this is what you want to see.
Listen, I want to see New York win. I want to see the fans enjoy it. But, you know, come on. I know New Yorkers are going to get on me for this, but come on, man. New Yorkers got that whole whiny attitude sometimes, right? You step on their Timbs, they want to fight. You scuff the Air Ones, they want to throw blows, right? If you're not from New York and you wear a Yankee fitted, they're making fun of you. Come on. Like you said, it's basketball. Deal with it. Yo, we watched the Knicks bully the Cavs. They bullied them. Yep. And there was a lot of calls in that. They were mollywhopping and bullying them. And we didn't hear the Cavs fans were complaining. You know, everyone was complaining in Cleveland. New York didn't say shit then.
Yeah.
So eat it. Come back harder. Come back aggressive. They will. I know they will. And come back with a brand of basketball we're used to seeing. I mean, it's not over. I just like you said, see, look, it's now, you know, it went from euphoria to now a street fight. Right. And it's, I don't think game four is going to be any easier.
And as fans, that's great for us, because really and truly, like I said, it was looking like, especially at halftime, you're like, man, like, are they going to sweep this team for real? And part of, and honestly, a part of me was like I said, again, I had the Knicks in six initially. I'm like, I don't really have a dog in the fight, but I'm like, I had the Knicks in six. I don't mind if the Spurs win. Again, I don't have a dog in the fight, but I don't really want to see a sweep. I'm enjoying the series. I actually want this to go six or seven. You know what I mean? Well, so like a sweep would actually wouldn't be good, especially considering what we've been watching the whole playoffs. Like, we want to see this. You know what I mean?
If it comes down to a game seven, is it in New York?
No, I'll be in San Antonio.
No, then I want a game six.
Yeah.
They got to win in the Garden. They got to. That's how this got to end off. In the Garden.
Yeah.
Pandemonium.
Just partying at MSG until like 6 in the morning.
Yeah. You know, orange and blue streamers falling from the sky. That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
Dolan crying. You know what I mean? All of it.
Yeah. That parade will be like monumental, man. Like, that parade would be insane.
You might even try to make a quick little trip. I saw the flights out there.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's a little dicey. It's a little dicey. But I like,
I call in sick. I call in sick.
Yeah, just cover your face. See, like you got
it. Yeah, like, my supervisor, hey. I'm sick.
It's like,
what is it? I stuck in.
But that's like I said, man, this is what you want to see, though. But with that said, like, what happened to this cat-centric offense that we're so used to this whole playoffs? I think that was the thing that was disappointing for me yesterday, because I'm like, why go away from what has been working for the last, I don't know, month and change, like the last 5 weeks?
I think a few things. Well, I think the biggest thing is Brunson. I think Brunson ended game two on a heater, right? Mm-hmm. Where he kind of just went off and just, and I think they needed that calmness to the storm that they didn't have. Actually, I think Alvarado, I think he was the calmness at one point.
Oh, he had some great minutes. He gave some great minutes last night.
And I think he should have stayed on at times more than Brunson, or maybe move Brunson to the two and keep him, but that would be kind of small ball. But I mean, the ball was moving, right? And actually came back.
Yeah.
And they came back with him, right? I just thought Brunson tried to do too much. I think the hype of just Madison and everyone cheering MVP and him being the guy, I think it just kind of got
the best of him.
Yeah. Cause there's times that Cat, like you said, like that's the problem with Cat. I think Cat's trying his hardest to play the role that they need him to play. And it's hard to play a role when you Nick, I've coached so many players like that, where you know how effective they are in a certain role, but they see themselves in another role. And it's successful when they play their way, but they got to touch, they got to be involved and touch the rock. Right. And when they don't, they're not engaged. And then, you know, they tend to take the first shot sometimes that they shouldn't. And that's why I meant, it's not that Cat played soft yesterday, but I felt like he was not engaged on the offense. And when he was, he was almost like, I got to get mine, because he hasn't touched the rock so much. Right.
Like even some of the threes he took last night too. Right. It was kind of like, I mean, I've seen him take it throughout the season, but I was like, it didn't feel right when he took him last night.
No, because I was thinking that, but when watching it, what ended up happening is Wemby didn't lead, like Wemby did not switch out on the perimeter. Yeah. So if you noticed it, so in during the game, whoever was closest to the rim, he was staying with them and they were switching out on Cat. So Cat had the mismatch. I think it was with Castle. Sometimes Castle and Champagne. So Champagne was kind of so whatever the rotations were, they just kept him in whoever was the closest guy to the paint. So he was kind of playing like rim line all the time, right? Weak side three. So Cat, instead of driving in the paint, right, because you had that big presence, he was taking the mismatch to shoot over him. Yeah. I mean, I get it, but I feel like they needed to get the switches going, right? Because that's when you move the ball. And let's say that's why Hart was doing so well, because when they swung it to Hart in the corner, Wemby wasn't closing out efficiently. Or they swung it to the opposite corner where Anunoby was, he's pump faking going to the rim. Now you're opening up space, right? But if you're not moving that rock, it's kind of stagnant. You're keeping guys in the position they want. That's one, right? And two is, I like Cat actually as a facilitator, right? Out of the high post.
Yeah.
Because now, again, he's looking for the cut, and the ball will come back to him, right? Because once help comes, now it's a dump off to him for that dunk, right? Or getting Wemby out on the perimeter, swing it to him. Now he can drive with the smaller guy on him and get the foul calls and the and-ones and those, you know, awkward layups, right? Ooh. But yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, another big thing is I've been disappointed with Bridges all season.
And yeah, he wasn't great.
If he's going to continue shooting.
But the funny thing is, I was going to say the one thing with him is like, he wasn't great, but I feel like it took a while for everybody to get on board with what Mike Brown was selling offensively at times too. You saw it with Cat, like throughout the season, they're like, he doesn't really know what his role is halfway through the year. So it's like they were winning, but you could see there was some rough patches. You know what I mean? Like it was taking some time. I feel like, I don't think Bridges played well this season, like not like he did, you know, like even last year. But at the same time, I feel like he might have been caught in that just a little bit, trying to figure it out too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I think so as well. But I still think it's kind of like we discussed about Fox. I still think there's times that he needs to make some key plays.
Yeah.
Right. I think Anunoby filled that void. Like, you know, Anunoby should be, you know, he's had some 20 point nights, but there's no excuse for Bridges to have under 10.
Yeah.
That's my point. Right. And foul trouble or whatnot. I mean, I don't mean like I would. How many shots did he take yesterday? I'd be surprised.
I'm looking it up right now. No, but you know, to your point, like you're right. Like it's. You know, it's Brunson kind of went, what's the word I'm looking for? He was like Bel Air prep centric last night. You know what I mean? Like he was, yeah. Like that's basically what he was doing. And it wasn't working. Like it's a great point. Like, yeah, I think he got caught up in the moment too. Like the bat signal was in the sky. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it was like, it was for the Knicks, not for Brunson. You know what I mean? Like, I just felt like he was dribbling a little too much. He was putting himself in, you know, and the thing is too, the Spurs got some good defenders for him. You know what I mean? Like usually he does really well against the Spurs, but they've been taking a point of pride with him specifically. You know what I mean? That he's not going to be the one that's going to kill us. So and you got some, and they're just passing him off. Like they got, you know, they got a rotation of guys that they could throw at him. They're throwing like four guys at him, and if he gets past them, there's Wemby, right? Mm-hmm. So it could get tiring. So I think New York also has to figure out a way to try to get him going too. You know what I mean? And go back to that cat centric offense, but they got to figure out a way to get him going in spots and moments. You know what I mean? At the same time, like they got to figure some stuff out a little bit. But and I mean, all that said, it's like the turnovers, I think, killed them a lot. Like that was the big part of it too. But I feel like, you know, like why did they go away from the thing that wasn't broken? Like if you've been to me, if you've been running this offense since, I don't know, the end of April, and you haven't lost, like that whole time you've been pitching goose eggs in the loss column. To me, this is the way of life now. Like this is how you have to play. You don't go away. Why would you go away from that? You know what I mean? Yeah, you can't even blame Trump for this. You can't even blame the Trump curse for this. You know what I mean?
Well, they are. Right? They are.
I know. That's the joke. Bridges went. Yeah, shit. He only had 2 points. 1 for 5.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like,
but you're right. Brunson took 25 shots. Nobody else took above 13.
Yeah, that's not a recipe, that
equation doesn't work. Yeah. And Cat's got to, and like I said, like I think Cat, it's not even just the fact that he's got to be, like the biggest part of the last two games is he's been the threat to score, right? Like he's always been the threat to score against Wemby, and that's what makes it tough. So I think what they did was kind of smart, like trying to like, you know, switch off him on the perimeter. So he has the advantage, but it's on the outside, not the inside. You know what I mean? So they actually, what they did was smart. So I mean, you know what? I'm giving the Knicks coaching staff like a bly, definitely, because what they've done the last 2 months, basically, like they deserve at least the opportunity to go in the, you know, to go back in the lab and fix some things. You know what I mean? They got to fix some things, oh, yeah. but if they don't. Like that to me is where it's going to get like, well, what are you guys doing now? You know what I mean? Like, okay, like this is game four. You guys got to like adjust and really adjust properly. You know what I mean? If you don't figure that out, then I'm like, now this series gets really dicey, you know? So that to me, I'm like, that's where I'm willing to give them a little, you know, like the benefit of the doubt for Mike Brown for tonight. Cause he's been doing a good job, man. Like I said, he's proven me wrong this whole playoffs basically. So I'm willing to give them some leeway, but they got to fix it because, you know, the next game is basically tomorrow, right? So they got to fix it. With that said, though, a couple of things I want to hit on before we go. How did Fat Joe get them tickets?
Fat Joe's a staple, right? You know, Fat Joe's a staple of this season, Knick culture. I mean, I think last year too, he's like a, you know, like the Spike Lee. He's just a caricature there. Now, forget about Fat Joe. How the hell did DJ Khaled get them tickets?
With Fat Joe. Came in with Fat Joe.
Why is he even there? He's a Heat fan.
Because it was the place to be. That's why. That's exactly why. It was the place to be.
Wasn't paying attention. You the worst.
I know. I saw what you did.
You know what was entertaining though? The Jumbotron moment.
That was hilarious.
Like the reality in the stadium. You know what I mean? Like the response. A thunder as a wave of booze echoing through it all, like the whole place.
That was hilarious.
Lame military salute during the national anthem. Like, well, it just added this weird friction, right? Like, you know, what was supposed to be like almost like a pure New York basketball holiday, you know, it was like a cooling effect across the crowd, right? Ran around tip off, like this moron. Sorry. I don't want to bring in politics, but geez, man, just the wrong vibe. But that's Dolan's boy. So
I know. Again, it's like, why, you know what I mean? Like I understand that he's a New York guy, you know what I mean? Through and through. And he always used to go to the Knicks games, you know, before he became president, but Yeah, I mean, come on, man. Like, it wasn't like, to me, it wasn't about that. Just like, it was, yesterday was as close to basketball euphoria that I think I've ever seen in my life. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, just pure joy. Just, it was just utter joy for New York, just New York basketball, you know, beyond even the Knicks. So it's just New York basketball, all the celebrities, all the old players, the crowds getting there 2 hours before the game, already on a 10. Like, it, to me, it was about that. Like, it was, you know, I mean, and they say he's not coming for game four, which I think is probably because you and even you think about it, too, like even, you know, outside of Madison Square Garden, like they could even do that yesterday. Right. Because everything happened with the president being there. So like you go back to the element of what's been working the whole playoffs. Like you need all that, too. You know what I mean? Like that. All that acid of hypeness when you see in the crowd going crazy. And what was disrespectful, too, is. Yo, I don't know if you saw that video with the fans beating up that Spurs guy, like the Spurs fan walking down the street. Like, what are we doing, man?
It was multiple, not just one.
That's crazy. Like, what are we doing?
Multiple.
You know, they were straight hunting guys with a Spurs jersey on.
Disrespectful. I mean, it's basketball. You don't have to be a hooligan about it. Yo, take the L and come back and celebrate with like a Canadian.
It's game three. That's the whole point. It's game three. It's not like it's game seven. It's game three. Not to say game seven will be an excuse to do that, but it's game three. Like, calm down. Like, let the guy go home in peace. I'm like, the guy was literally just walking. He's just trying to get, like, literally just trying to get home. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm like, come on, man. Like, that was idiotic.
As that was it. This guy on Instagram, that New Yorker from Instagram. Pack you all the way up, son.
Yeah, Willie Mills.
Pack that shit up all the way up, son. That guy's the biggest contradicting New Yorker I know. Pack you all the way up, son. All right, go ahead. Looking like Kimbo Slice.
He does look like Kimbo Slice. A funnier, chubbier Kimbo Slice. No, but last thing I'll say before I get your prediction though is, again, I mean I can't stress this enough. When Dylan Harper was I don't know if you saw the post game with him on ESPN, but after the game he was talking about how I think he was interviewed by us Van Pelt SVP, and he was like, you know, how did they manage like the celebrity and the crowd and the atmosphere and stuff, and he was like. Yo, it's like even for him, he's like, yo, it was crazy. It's like, yo, when you're walking on the sidelines and you see Hove, he was like, man, I just had to look away. Cause he's like, I was like, holy cow, like, yo, when your idols are coming there to watch you, and they're coming to see you lose. You know what I'm saying? It's not even it's not even like they're coming to see you win, they're coming to see you lose. So that's why I'm like, I commend them again for stepping up the way that they did. And you know what? It's also when you're on the road, honestly, that's also a fun environment to be into when you're on the road. When you feel like everybody's against you and you're united as a team, that's a fun time to be into. People don't talk about that enough. Like people think you'll be scared of those moments, but it's just sometimes those moments are great. But like I said, it's just impressive that at that age, like, you know, collectively, like they took that us against the world mentality. They really did.
Another factor is, and I mean, you have this from playing ball, right? Unfortunately, I never had a chance to really do it. But let's say you coming back home to play an opponent in your hometown, right? Mm. Right? You're the villain coming in, but it's still your hometown, still the crib, right?
Yeah. So
there's a sense of pride coming back and playing in your hometown the best you can in front of your loved ones, right? It's one of those things of, I'm not playing for my hometown, but shit, I want to take them out in my hometown. So a lot of them are tri-state boys, right? So they all probably grew up rooted for the Knicks. Like Harper's a Champagny, I think, is from New York. A lot of them, right? You know, it's almost like they're on their tri-state New York City shit too, right?
Yeah.
So I respect it, man. I really do.
Like even Castle, like Castle's not from New York, but I think his father is, right?
Yeah.
So you know they got family all up and down New York.
Yeah.
So you're right. You're right. It's home too. It's you know what I mean? So it's home for them guys, but it's home too.
Yeah. I mean, shoot, us as Caribbeans, Caribbean descendants, like we are, you know how many cousins I have in the tri-state New York? Same as you. I know you do for a fact too.
Yeah.
So, you know what the energy's like, right?
Yeah.
You know, if I went to Hofstra to play, yo, the energy's high.
Yeah.
Right. You know, you going back to play, in front of friends and all types of stuff. So, I expect game four to be no different. Right. I just hope that the Knicks are focused this time, like you said, on the game plan to win. Stick to the.
Now, I was going to say, with that said, though, this is the most important game right here in the series. I expect a dogfight tomorrow. Like, this is the most important game of the series. I think I'll go as far as to say is whoever wins this game, I think they're probably going to win the series. Because if the Spurs come back 2-2, going back to San Antonio, you've given these guys a ton of confidence. But if the Knicks go up 3-1, now you're kind of like, I don't know, man. Like, you know, you're one more to go. You know what I mean? You got three chances to get that one more, right? So that one more on the giddy up. So I'm like, I don't know. That's why I'm like, it's a really important game tomorrow. I expect a dogfight.
Yeah, I mean, you took the words out of my mouth, man. This is like the defining fork in the road of the series, right? I mean, if New York rebounds, they go up 3-1 with a stronghold, lead, it's going to be tough for San Antonio to come back and win two, right? Especially if it goes to a game six back at the crib. But if San Antonio repeats the defensive masterclass, home court advantage, I think, like we just discussed, it flips back to Texas, with a tied series, which is going to be tough, right? And I mean, honestly, like, just quick summary of what I thought, like, for game four, like, what I think, sorry, like, the blueprint should be is for the Knicks is, like, they got to speed back up the game in transition. They got to keep that tempo to prevent the Spurs from getting their long length back on defense and they shutting them down in with their half court rotations, right? And having Wemby just sit in the paint, because it's really hard to get buckets if he's just standing there like a tower, right? And again, I've said it all pod, right? Bridges has to snap out of his shooting slump, right? And for the Spurs, well, they got to continue utilizing Wemby the best they could, especially when he's at the top of the key and not clogging up the paint, because it provides driving lanes for others.
Yeah.
He's just killing, right? And even when he's out of the paint, it's allowing others to do their thing because the ball's moving, and especially when that in their transition. You got DeAndre Fox, I think, is the X factor, right? He has to start pushing for those secondary baseline drives and in transition. He has to continue scoring the way he is, because if not, it's going to be a long, long night, right? Because I think New York's going to come out and punch them in the mouth, but how much they respond, it depends on that nucleus and that core.
Yeah, it's hard to make a prediction, but I think I'm going to lean to the Knicks, because I feel like game three was, like I said, it's the energy was so palpable, man. I'm not totally shocked that it even frayed them a little bit, but I figured they'd come back down to earth that way, for game four. But the one thing I will say about the Spurs is no matter what happens, man, you got the defensive player of the year and defense travels. Defense can quiet a crowd. So to me, that's where I'm kind of like, it's going to be crazy, because like if you can't lean on anything else, you can lean on your defense, and defense can lead to transition, and transition leads to easier baskets. And then you start to get your flow. So like I said, I can see the Spurs walking out of here, but I think it's going to be a really close game. And I think the Knicks pull it away just so I can make good on my Knicks in six prediction. You know what I mean? It kind of sets up that way. But again, they said it's the first time since 1993 that the no team has won a home has won, no home team has won a game like this far into the series.
Oh yes, I heard that too. Yeah.
Yeah, which is wild. Which is wild. And it's funny because I think in that, now looking back at it, I think it was Chicago and Phoenix. Only Chicago won a home game. They only won one home game, but that was enough. Yeah. The whole series, basically everybody won on the road. It was only Chicago won, I think, I don't even know what game it was, but they won one home game on that series, and that tilted the scales. You know what I mean? So like I said, I can see the Knicks kind of repeating history here, but it wouldn't shock me if we're going back 2-2 to San Antonio. We're getting more post game podcasts out of this. You know what I mean?
Well, it's always you know what it is. It's everyone wants to watch good basketball and a good storyline. I mean, yeah. You know, I want to see it pushed. I want to see the drama. I want to see the turmoil. I want to see the parody. I want to see New York cry, New York smile. So I hope it goes to the distance. But
yeah,
I'm with you on six.
Yeah, I want it to go as far as it can go, man. I'm enjoying the series, man. It's not like last couple of years we've gotten blessed with some good finals, man. Because even last year, even though it was two small market towns, that was a great series, man, for the most part. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It was, or at least a well played series. Mm-hmm. I know there was some blowouts here and there, but the energy in it was pretty high, man. Like you didn't think the Pacers were gonna come like that, but they didn't stop right until, you know, Haliburton blew out his Achilles. But I feel I feel like this series is, yeah, it's really entertaining. And then, like I said, you're bringing the New York City element to it. It makes it that much more exciting. So I'm not ready for it to end yet. I'm not ready for my basketball season to end yet. Not yet. It could be delayed just a few days more. But we'll wrap up here, man. Thank you, brother. As always,
One quick thing before we end the pod, well, maybe two, but one definitely. Oh, Canada. Shout out to our U18 team.
Yes, okay, yes.
For being the David, you know, for being David against the Goliath USA and crushing them. Well, I shouldn't say crushing them, but in my mind, it was a crush because it's just big when we beat US in anything. But beating them at the American Cup, or is it the Americas?
Yeah. Right?
FIBA Americas, our young, you know, talented U18 Canadian national basketball team. Huge. Took down the USA. Since, I think it was the first time they won since 2002 against the US. But it just shows the trajectory of where our young talent and boys are going and where they're at right now. To beat a juggernaut like that, and the U.S. can say whatever they want, but just the fact that was one of the most recognized talent, you know, assembled for U.S., you know, with all the rankings and all this crap, probably if you look at the overall rankings of where the players were at, that was supposed to be a juggernaut team, and we went through that America tournament like as we should, dominating. Yeah. I think it was over 30 points every game. You know, I think our margin of victory going to the finals was bigger than US. And the fact that they came through and finished at the end, and with young stars like Tyndale and upcoming stars like Robinson, and emerging stars like, I think it's Dang or Nang. Like, yeah. I got to give a shout out to, I've coached against them and never won, but Charles was the coach for that team. Who was at Fort Erie for a long time. I think he went to Pacific that was smart to help out in D1, and that was back. I think this year he's taken over at Orangeville, and he's probably one of the most talented
coaches,
up-and-coming coaches that I know in Canada. And was the right guy for the job, I'll be honest. Like, I wish that guy nothing but success, and I'm proud that he was at the helm and helped our young boys, guided them to that victory. So shout out to them.
No, it's funny. When you said, oh, Canada, I'm thinking, oh, the World Cup, because it's coming in a couple of days. I'm seeing all these presses for it.
That too. Yeah, that's another conversation for later, but shout out to them too, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. But no, I didn't get a chance to see the game, actually, man. I wasn't home, so I missed that game. But no, shout out to them, man. That was really impressive. That was really impressive. And I mean, it's a testament to all the work that y'all are doing, man, as coaches and bringing these young boys up, man. And, you know, and there's more coming. There's more coming. The pipeline is here now. It seems like it's here to stay.
Yeah. You know what I mean? The infrastructure in Canada is even though we complain a lot as you know, people that are involved in new sports, but it's the fastest growing sport in Canada. And even though that there needs I think there still needs a little bit more governance around it all. But overall, 100%. You know, there's, you know, we're now going into the third, the fourth, even in some cases, the fifth generations of guys in families, women as well, mm-hmm. that are having these young athletes and have played at certain levels and have learned at a certain level how to play the game, both tactically and physically, like skills. And it's coming to fruition. We're seeing it. And the model has changed with the right people at the helm in the right places. And we are our own stars to look up to now. The Shays of the world, you know, the Murrays of the world, et cetera. So there's only going to be more. And on the flip side of it, right, just in general, I want to also give a shout out to one of my former players from Red Rush, Rosen Lewis, who's in Chicago, who was a valedictorian. You know, we always talk about the players that you know, go D1 or go to the next level of U Sports or D2, whatever, or the league or overseas, but we don't really acknowledge the guys that use it as a tool to be successful in a well-rounded student athlete and
make a better life for themselves.
Yeah. And you know, he may not continue his collegiate career, but he got a full scholarship, you know, for university and academically, and he's going to be one of our leaders of the future for sure. So I love to see that. Love to celebrate it. Canada's in good hands, and we're all overall 360 going in the right direction. So just a proud moment for us all in all.
And that's the goal, right? Like, I know we talk about NIL and all that stuff, and you know what I mean? And it's huge because it's, you know, if you're talented, you're going to get some change, whether it's football, basketball, whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. But I mean, that is the initial goal, right? Of like when you're a parent and you don't have to pay for college and you know, your kid's going to get a scholarship and get his degree or his master's and it's not coming out of your pocket at the base minimum, like that's a win. Even though that now that's like the minimum requirement now in terms of success. I mean, that's a big win in the game of life. That's a huge win. Well, and there's nothing small about that moment.
Nope, I just saw a stat. I heard something, a stat online that 95% of the either the owners or the, you know, the chairs or the CEOs of Fortune presidents, the Fortune 500 companies, whether it's female or male, 95% of them have played some type of sport. Above high school, right? Like high school or above. Sorry. So that's to show you that they all are grounded in that, that because, you know, sports has a lot of characteristics that come through in other aspects of life, right? And it, you know, I'm not saying that's it's the end all and be all this play sports, but it does create a well-rounded person with the discipline, teamwork, etc. So I encourage it, and I encourage everyone that listens to the pod to at least get your kids, you know, physically involved active in some type of level. It creates, you know, long lasting relationships as well. I mean, shoot, I would say, well, probably 99% of my friends I've met through sports.
Yeah.
Or you know, if not indirectly, you know, the others through people I know that play sports. Right. It's so sports.
Yeah.
Just what it is.
No, that's a fact. And like I said, it's a big shout out to them, man. I'll actually even do a little shout out to Mr. even though I haven't seen him in a very long time, I'm good with his pops. I'm real good with his pops. But shout out to Isaiah Clark, because I see that he's going off to it was announced that he's going off to a prep school. Yeah, big prep school out in the States. He's certainly on his way from what it looks like. You know, he's looking to, he's looking to really do his thing. I'm really proud of him, man. Last time I saw him, he was close to my height. This is maybe about 4 years ago. This is probably like right after, you know, our heavily member Headley passed. And I was like, when I saw him, I was like, bro, I'm like, listen, I don't owe you any money. Okay. Because I'm like, you're already almost my height. You like 12, 13. I'm like, something. I'm like, hey, man, I don't got it, man. I don't got it. Just leave me be, man. Just when you get bigger, just remember I'm a friend. You know, he was just laughing. You can see, like, oh, he's gonna be a big kid. And sure enough, he is, man. So I love the story, man. Like I said, a shout out to his parents, especially Sherlyn. Like, yeah, man, it's you know, I love to see that, man. That's what you want to see. You want to see, you know, the next generation do better than where you left off for them, right? That's the whole point, right? That's the whole point. So it's a beautiful story, man. So like I said, we're gonna see more of these upsets, man. These in a few years, they won't be so much upsets anymore. It's just gonna be what it is, right?
Facts.
It's gonna be what it is. But I'm gonna do my outro right now. Thank you for listening and watching the AV podcast. Shout out to all the listeners and the watchers, man. I appreciate y'all. And you know, come join the family. Like and subscribe. You know what I mean? Hit those 5 stars. Make sure you go to the catalog over at SouthShireAv.com. I'm gonna say it one more time for the emphasis. It's SouthShireAv.com. All right, so for Mr. Round of Walter, this is Cal C. And you just tuned into the latest episode of our podcast right here on South Shiraz Radio. Come back in a couple of days when we do another post-game pod, man. And then we're going to do more and more episodes until this series is over. We got other projects coming down the pipeline. Can't wait for you to see them. And we're going to get right to it, man. Thank you once again. Till next time, we out of here. Peace.